There we go.
There's always a second of panic.
Right? I'm like, did I press that button? Count two is a different code, just for the record. All right. Well, welcome, everyone, to the Ellie Flynn Live September phone call. So excited for this call. I've literally had the best day ever, so I'm on my A game. So this is just going to get better and better.
Wait.
You guys all right over there?
There was music. Did anyone hear that?
Yeah, I definitely did.
I did.
And it wasn't
but it
Patty.
Stopped.
I don't think.
No, it was not me.
Patty, are you singing already?
No.
All right. Well, I guess when everyone mutes, we'll cut all that out. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but there was like a full-on piano recital going on.
How
do
you
know?
It was
music.
Mystery
man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that just eases me right into the, if you guys could all please mute your phone, especially while Patty's speaking. It is *6. To mute, correct?
Yes. Yes.
*6-7 to mute, and then it's *6 to unmute. So please feel free to jump in, ask questions. Wait till Patty's done sharing his story, and then he's totally open to answering any questions, and so we can kind of go from there. We're really excited that we have, sounds like some new voices on the phone call, so it's going to be great to just kind of hear Patty's story, and it sounds like quite the adventure. And if you do hear some music, that's Patty singing. He is our musician, so it's going to be really excited to hear his total adventure. Just want to remind you guys that the Ellie Flynn Live is, our purpose of it is just to kind of create this great community, which we have created. It's awesome to be able to connect with people from all over the globe that have Ellie Flynn and to really be able to feel like we can connect with everyone. But we are not doctors or psychiatrists or anything crazy like that, so we don't really try to stay away from any questions on medicines, medications, clinical trials, and things like that. So with that, I just want to introduce, his name is Patty Dillon, and he's from Connecticut. Awesome East Coast accent, which I just love accents. Everyone knows I love that. So with that, Patty, I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us for September.
Hey guys, how you doing? My real name is Patrick Dillon. I go by Patty. That's just been what I've been called for a long, long time now. So, it's the Irish in me, I guess. Let's see. Me, my brother, and sister were all affected by Lieber's, Elhan, and my mother was the one that passed it along to us. And my it skipped her. Actually, never happened to her. And my grandmother was the one to have it, but she passed away when my mother was around 10 years old, so they didn't know what it was back in the early 50s, I don't believe. So that's why we knew nothing about it until it happened to my sister. So, yeah, I was born in a town in New York called Brewster, and it's about 45 to an hour north of New York City, which was a really great place to grow up, and I have a lot of great friends, great family. And just overwhelming support. It's just, it's unreal. And, you know, when I was, I think around 13, we got a call from my sister up in Syracuse, New York. She had just graduated college, and she said she was having problems with her vision when she was driving home one night from, I guess where she was working at her internship or something. And we didn't think anything much of it. We just thought maybe she needed glasses or something. And then until she came home, and then we saw the severity of it, like how bad it was. I mean, at first we couldn't really tell until my uncle had to drive us to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in the Bronx. And we were all getting tested. And then my sister came out of her her room, and she did her makeup for the first time. And that's when I could still see, and my brother could as well. And when I saw, and she had just, let's just say, it was very, very shocking because she didn't do it the way she normally did. She had way too much on, and she didn't realize it, and she just didn't know. And my uncle said, "Colleen, you can't leave like that." And she was like definitely embarrassed, and I was like, "Oh my God!" And now I'm on my way to go find out. that if I have it or not, you know. So it was very, you know, it was very, very shocking or very scary when you're that young, you know. And, you know, we went and then we found, and we got, yes, go ahead.
How old was your sister?
she was, I believe, 21, 22. I was 14 or 15 when I, because she's 7 years older than me. So I want to say, yeah, around 94, 95. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe my dad knows better. He's listening in. Yeah, so that's when that happened. And then we went down to the Bronx. And then my brother, you know, it happened to him 2 years after. So for a little while, I was driving both of them around, you know. I had my fun, you know, and I got to drive for 2 years. Ironically, I drove a taxi the summer before I lost it. And, you know, so it happened to my brother 2 years after. And then I had gotten into a state school upstate New York in like a town outside of Albany called SUNY Cobleskill. That's a state university of New York, SUNY Cobleskill. And about 2 weeks into the first semester is when it happened to me. So that was like, you know, I was riding a high, you know, I was all excited on my own for the first time. And there was 10 of my friends from high school all went to this college. And it's like we took it over almost. And then, boom, it all of a sudden it happened, you know. And it was not easy at first to deal with, you know. I had already been a rowdy kid, you know. So, you know, this was my ticket to, I guess you want to say, like, you know, poor me, you know, everybody's going to feel sorry for me and I'll get whatever I want, you know. And that was not a very good way to, you know, go about it. My sister had been dealing with it pretty well, and she was getting her master's degree at Fordham University, and all while she, you know, lost her vision. And she wound up becoming a social worker at the Lighthouse for the Blind in White Plains, New York. And my brother, he had gotten a job. My uncle had introduced him to somebody in his company who gave him an interview at Fiduciary Trust in the World Trade Center. He was actually in the South Tower. He was out before that happened, though, because his shift ended because he worked the night shift. So thank God, because you know, he was at home already, and then he just came in, he walked in the door and saw what was going on. So thank God, you know. And so he got a pretty good job. And I was, you know, I was living in White Plains for a little while. It was about 45 minutes north of the city, and I was trying to find work. I'd find jobs here and there, you know, and I wound up getting my college degree at Western Connecticut State University, which was unexpected, let's just say. thank God I did, because, you know, it's not easy to get a job these days, especially, you know, if you can't see very well and you don't have a degree. So, you know, thank God I got my college degree. And, you know, there's been ups and downs with me, you know, like throughout, you know, I always didn't have such a great attitude or, you know, inspired to play music. At first, you know, when I was younger, I, you know, I couldn't put my guitar down, and I didn't start singing until about 7 years ago. And, it was a process with that too, cause I don't think I sound that great now, but, you should have heard me 7 years ago. It was like my dad would be like, shut the door. But, yeah, and he would say, it sounds like a dying cat. That's what his favorite, I think. But, you know, I taught myself. I taught myself how to play the guitar. And, you know, you have a lot of time on your hands. I didn't want to be a part of any, like, at the time, any support groups. I didn't even really know they were out there or even to think that they were out there, you know, until the past 3 years. And I've been really, really... you know, chiming in on it and reading up, and my sister as well has been doing a lot of research. So, you know, the music, you know, that really honestly saved my life, because I could have went down a very dangerous path, because I just felt like, you know, what's the point, you know? And not to get in any detail, but I met some amazing people, and I met people that never will give up on me, and they still won't. And, it's a slow process, and it's, you know, I'm slowly seeing the light, and, you know, people saw things in me that I didn't see, let's just put it that way, and no pun intended, but, yeah, and I kind of ran with that, and I have a knack for speaking. I you know, it's kind of weird over the phone, but I spoke in public, you know, whether it be rehabs or you know, I used to play for the little kids at the Lighthouse for the Blind for my sister on Saturday mornings. That was always amazing. And where I work now, it's a place called Ability Beyond. We're a nonprofit organization that we work for. We help, you know, people with traumatic brain injury, mental retardation. I don't like saying that word, but and I play for them every Wednesday after work. You know, it's really nice. That's the most fulfilling thing I do. I mean, that's like the reason I thank God every day that I can play music, because to see the smiles on their face, not really literally see them, but they, you know, they clap and they get so excited, and it feels like I'm making their day, you know, and I love that. So, you know, and, you know, I don't want to get into too much gritty detail, but, you know, it's been a long, long road to get where I'm at right now. And things have been so overwhelmingly good lately, at least I think, with music, with my attitude, with, you know, my outlook on life, you know, and it's just, like, I have to have that attitude that every day above ground is, you know, it's another bonus, you know, so I have to, and I didn't used to have that attitude, trust me, because I was doing everything in, like, my power to almost exist, not live, you know what I mean, and it's not the case these days. I definitely, I'm inspired to sing and write and make a mark somewhere, wherever I land, you know, and that's what I want to do. That's my goal, is to get my music out there as well, but also my story, and because I've given you the G version, to get it out there, and you know, but also like to tie them together, because I've been trying this in the last couple of gigs, where I'm not scared to sing in front of, it could be thousands and thousands of people. That's fine, I can do that. But when it came to speaking, like not playing my guitar, just actually speaking, getting a rapport with the audience, is what I needed to work on, and I've been working on that, and it's getting better and better. And because me, as a music lover as well, like whenever I would go to concert, I've seen Dave Matthews 60 times. I'm going to see Van Halen on Sunday. But I, depending on the person, when they talk too much, it's like, hey, listen, shut up and play your music. I don't want to be that guy that, you know, is annoying the crowd. So I want to grab, you know, I want to get a rapport with them. I guess it's just another thing I got to work on as being, you know, a better person, you know, because I got to be constantly remaining to be teachable. And I have to stay humble, because that's been a big problem in the past, where when good things happen, I think that I created all this. I did this, and my head got big, and I threw it all away, you know. And so if I learn how to, you know, have healthy fears, like I would always have fear of success. But, you know, what about, I mean, fear of failure, I mean, but, you know, there can be a fear of success, because, you know, I would always wait for that second, like the other shoe to drop, or, you know, whatever, and you know, almost self-sabotage in a way, which is very unhealthy. But, you know, with the help of many, many amazing people, I've, you know, tried to overcome that, and it's a constant struggle. You know, I butt heads with, you know, certain people a lot, and I, you know, it's just, it's the way I am. I'm a stubborn Irish, whatever you want to call it, but it's just the way I am, but I have, I've learned to actually love life again, and through my music and my family. I have the most amazing family. We get along great, and you know, and very supportive through the years. We're lucky that we've had like back in '98, I think it was, when I was a senior in high school. We when we all were diagnosed, our neighborhood pulled money together for us to fly down to Atlanta at the Emory Institute to see Nancy Newman, I believe her name was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to see, you know, just to, you know, get a little background of what's going on, you know, because this all happened so, like, out of the blue, you know, and we didn't know what the heck was going on, so we wanted some answers. And all our neighbors pulled money together, and we flew down and got a hotel, and we stayed for a couple of days, and we got to see Atlanta, too, which was really nice. Huge airport. But, yeah, and I don't know. I don't want to bore everybody too much, but you know, I live a really, really cool life, and I've had a job now that I actually, because I didn't work for a long time, because I don't know. I was just a lot of fear. For a while, I got so depressed that it was scared to get the mail. But you know, I overcame all that, and that was just you know, it's just another a lesson to learn from that made me stronger, you know, and just somewhere I never want to be again, so I don't have to go back, you know. So I've become a little spiritual as well, you know, because they say religion for people who are scared to go to hell, and spirituality is for people who've been there. So I'm going to remain spiritual. And yeah, and then, you know, I've been playing a lot lately, and I've been in the studio as well, too. So hopefully I'll have a little mini album out for you guys to hear real soon. I posted one of my songs, Lose My Mind, and that's the closest to the it's a rough cut from the studio, and I'm going back in tomorrow. So hopefully it'll be all, that song will be all finished. So,
so what does Lose My Mind about?
Oh, that is that's pretty self-explanatory. it's about you know, just about like family. Oh, well, growing up basically, and little like quips. I like the lyrics. I found it very like what's the word I'm looking for? Well, for instance, in the second verse, it starts off, "Mommy said, don't sit so close, because you're going to go blind." And then and the second line is, "Daddy said, don't drink that, son, you're going to lose your mind." So it all tied in, you know, and then I go on to mention something my brother would say, and then my sister would say. I always try to tie my family into my songs. I think it's like four songs now that I've kind of managed to pull them all in there. So, yeah, so...
I mean, your family probably has this crazy, cool connection.
Yeah, I mean,
we
do. And for a while, I wanted to not be a part of it, but I love my family so much. And it's just, for a while, I don't think they understood me, and I didn't understand them. So, but, and I was kind of that, I don't want to say black sheep, but I was like the, you know, I just was quiet. And not with everybody else. It's just, I don't know. I just wanted to be that. I didn't get everybody's happiness, for let's just put that way, because everybody was I wasn't at the time, you know. And now we get along great, so it's, you know, it's glad to, I'm so glad to be a part of that, you know. And I do, and my extended family is just absolutely amazing. When we just, you know, we're a bunch of New York Irish fun people. So yeah,
especially with you guys, with all siblings being affected, you know,
yeah.
I feel like, especially in the LH1 community. I always say LH1 has no age, because I can connect with so many people no matter what age they are. And do you feel the same way with, I mean, you have
Absolutely.
Brothers and sisters, totally.
Yes.
So it's just like you guys have this own special connection beyond brothers and sisters, because you share the same eye disease.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, when we have debate, the thing, what I find is so key, and at times, you know, like we, you know, there's times for and times, but to have a sense of humor about it, because if you didn't, honestly, it would
Absolutely.
Kill us. It would just let it. It would drive us nuts. And you know, occasionally I would say we're the three blind mice, or this and that. You know, like just stupid little things. Or, you know, like if somebody says something, I'm like, oh, like I'm, like, you know, where those ones where you have to insert the next line. You know, I'm like, oh God, I'm trying. I have to say it. So, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, but we do. We have a great sense of humor, and I think in our own ways we're all successful. And I don't mean monetarily. I mean, my sister does pretty well, but. I mean, in our, you know, hearts and our mind, like, and we're, you know, I think our ultimate goal is to be content, you know? So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you totally do have to have a sense of humor. My brother calls me neighbors too, because
yeah.
I'm the second one affected, so he thinks it's funny. So he'll, like, send me a text message, like, what up, neighbors too? And I'm like,
what? Nice. Yeah. That's silly.
Nice. But, yeah, it's sense of humor and, I mean, just a cool community and connection.
Yeah, I know, and I'm so grateful that I found you guys and that I've been trying my hardest to connect as best as possible. I'd love to, you know, eventually travel and to meet all you guys, because, honestly, I've never traveled. Only up and down the East Coast, like, a, you know, down to the Carolinas, Virginia. That's where we all went to on vacation when I was a kid, going down the East Coast or whatever, Jersey Shore. But, I've never left the East Coast. I've never left the country. And I kind of find that to be a little sad, you know, like, because I got to get out and see this damn world. So, I don't know. I would definitely
Well, what's
love
cool
that.
About this community is that everyone has so many awesome experiences, that from packing to the airport to getting to a new place, there's everyone always has a cool trick.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So there's always a resource out there.
Yeah.
And the airport is awesome.
Yeah.
For those
right.
visually impaired. Do you guys have any questions you want to ask for Patty?
Yeah.
Hey, Patty.
Hey, how you doing?
How about Rory Gallagher, Patty?
Yeah? Oh, wait, is he a musician?
He's the best guitar player that ever came out of Ireland.
Oh, you know what? I have heard of him. And I've been listening to a lot of, if you like Rory Gallagher, you're going to love this guy. His name
Unreal.
Is Ben Howard.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, but I was listening to Ben Howard, and one of the next, like, you know, on my YouTube now, I like how it does that. It just keeps playing. It's almost like a never-ending playlist. If you have, like, certain artists on, it'll just keep playing their songs or related songs. And that was amazing. Yeah, Ben Johnson and Rory Gallagher. Yeah, thank God you said that because I wanted to download a lot of his stuff.
Rory Gallagher is for real.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah. So, anybody else? Thank you.
Patty,
what was your name?
It's Lissa. I'm sorry. I've got a question for you.
Hey, Lissa. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? It's good to hear your story. Thanks for sharing.
No problem.
Question for you. Everyone's journey is everyone's journey, and
yes.
I'm sure the journey you went through makes you the person you are today. And on the one hand, I bet you'd say you wouldn't change anything. On the other hand,
no.
It sounds like you've gone through a lot of pain to kind of become the person you are now. And if you were sitting down with yourself, who you were 17 years ago when it was first starting, and if you could sort of make the past less painful for yourself,
yeah.
Are there any tips and advice and things you could tell your 18-year-old self based on what you know now that you would, you know, that might help you make the path smoother, things you could, you know, say to somebody else's parents who are going, how do I help my kid not sort of go to hell and back, but rather, you know, get to the back faster? Do you have any sort of tips from the other side that you can pass back to some of the parents on the call, the loved ones and the people that are sort of wherever they're at in their journey? Thoughts
yeah.
and ideas you could share?
Absolutely. My God, and that was the best question I've ever heard. First of all, I would give myself a hug, and I would say it's going to be a heck of a ride. But I think either way it would have been. But the advice I would give myself is, you know, this isn't anybody's fault. You know, it's not your mother's fault. It's not this and that. But you have to there were certain things that I needed to understand first, you know. And I wasn't going to, you know, I didn't have the answers, which I thought I did. And these talents and these God-given gifts that I had, I pushed them away. So, and I said, poor me, you know. And this life that we have is only once, you know, and it's a one-shot deal, you know. And I cheated a lot. I would say cheated death a few times, and I wouldn't change it because it's made me who I am today, like you said, Lissa. And I don't know. That's just such an amazing question. I would have to be in the presence of somebody if they had my advice, because I usually have very good advice. It's just it seems I don't follow it very well, or used to not, but. Yeah, I would just say think twice, you know, pause, you know, and really think about the path that you're going to be going on or the path that you're on, you know, because you know, we don't have the answers and we're not all powerful, and help asking for help makes us stronger. It doesn't make us weaker. That's the last thing it is. It is the most powerful and most for a man, you want to say, like, you know, because a lot of people are taught, like, men don't cry or be a man. You don't need help. That's absolute horse, you know what. And asking for help was the best thing I ever did, you know, but I was so scared to. It took me so long to do it. And, you know, when I was finally defeated and I had to surrender, wave that flag, you know, and say, hey, I think I do need a little help. And, you know, that was the most... Well, it was the most powerful thing I ever did, because, you know, I could finally let go of that elephant on my shoulder, and just I could finally cry for the first time, because I couldn't do that for so long. I thought I was a monster. You know, why can't I cry? You know, and I was fine. Once I did, it was just that lump in my throat and waterfall time. And because we think we can just figure everything out, and we can't figure it out. That's not a slogan in life that we can, you know, own up to, because it's just... Sometimes it gets so hard, especially when we take on everything ourselves, and we dig ourselves such a deep hole that we were like, all right, I'll do this, I'll get us out of this, and then we just dig it even deeper. You know, we think we hit a bottom, but then there's a trap door, and we keep going down. And, yeah, I just would say don't ever be scared to ask for help, and you know, because we're letting life pass us by, and, you know, and like I said earlier, it's like I was existing, not living, you know. And the world is an amazing place to be if you actually join society. So thank you, Liz. That was an amazing question.
An amazing answer. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Patty, this is Wayne.
How you doing, Wayne?
Thanks for being so honest. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I came in late maybe, I don't know, what is your vision?
I don't know the actual, I've always heard, but I don't want to say, like, because maybe I'm wrong, but I heard like 2365 or something like that. I don't know. All I know is it's terrible. And but it's been 18 years, so I've adjusted to it, and I've had the attitude that, you know, I am, because I've could see for 18, and now I can't see. So it's been actually about 17 years I can't see. So I'm almost at the point where I haven't been able to see just as long as I could see. So if it has to be, and we don't have a correction for this, you know, in my lifetime, I'm okay with it. Don't get me wrong, I would love it. If they had something, I'd be the guinea pig. But, you know, like as of right now, it's okay. But I Jessica explained it the best. It's like seeing underwater, you know, basically. And thank God for, like, handheld magnifiers, because otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do anything.
What do you use?
I use a handheld magnifier. It's like a magnification is like a 10X. It's like a little handheld one with a light on it. Okay. And I just, you know, it's pocket size. I keep it in my pocket. And at work, I need to look up a lot of phone numbers. I need to do some typing and looking on the computer. And it's my lifeline, you know. And I've never lost it until I've actually needed it the most. Today was my one-year anniversary at work. And I've lost it at least 3 times now. And I've never lost it. You know, like, it's like, geez. Like, but now I have, like, 3 backups. I keep 2 at work. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, how strong is that magnifier?
Yeah, it's a 10X. I don't know if you know what that means, but it's pretty strong. I mean, I know my brother and my sister, I think theirs is a little better than mine, because my brother can sit with his, his the same kind of, it's like a magnification, but he has it like as a pair of glasses that he uses, and he lies down and he reads novels. I read an email and I want to go crazy. But, yeah, and my sister as well, she has a little more, I think my brother does the best as far as their actual vision, but I don't mean actually getting around and mobile. I mean, I think I do the best, honestly, because I was an athlete, a very good athlete, and I think that has a lot to do with it, your reflexes and your hand-eye coordination and your, you know, your mobility. So
is that an electronic, like handheld CCTV? Or,
yeah, I have one of those as well, yeah, handheld. I have. It looks like almost looks like a cell phone.
GPS.
yeah, it's really cool, yeah. But I use that for more stuff, like at home for mail and stuff like that, because I have to be really quick because the stuff, the numbers I have to look up and this and that. And that thing has to, you have to plan it down. It has to go into focus and this and that. So I use that for more things at home, like mail and, you know, and other things, you know.
Right. I can't really get much use out of, regular magnifiers, but that helps a little bit, you know, the CCTV.
Mm-hmm. When were you affected?
Sorry, by the way, this is Frank Musso.
How you doing, Frank?
From South Suburbs, Chicago. I was affected, I'm 25 now. It started affecting me, I was about 20 and a half years, almost 21 years old. So, you know, it sounds like we have, some similar stories.
From
made reference to.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's like you said, it's about surrendering and overcoming it. And you know, I didn't really deal with things well at first at all, but kind of got through it and doing great now. You know, and,
yeah, absolutely. Because honestly, in my experience, there wasn't a roadmap or like a guideline for how to deal with this. You know, it's just like here it is. Deal with it. And we didn't know it was coming. In our situation, we had no idea because we were literally blindsided because my grandmother, she passed away, I think it was 1951, and that, my mother was like, or 53, my mother was only 9 years old. So nobody knew what it was back then, and that's the one that carried it. She passed it on to my mother, but it skipped her. It never happened to her. So my mom still has 20/20, and like it happened to her, and all of a sudden it happened to my sister one day, boom, 94. So.
Right. I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters, and my older brother is the only person that we really that I know of that I've ever met in my family that has it. But so I mean, it seems like it hides for some generations. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it just comes out to say hello every couple. Yeah.
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 Hey, Patty, this is Maria. Now, I'm good. Are you saying your grandmother was affected? Was she actually legally blind?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. And then all of a sudden, it started happening to your sister, and you're like, here it comes again, type of thing.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know what it was then, but because I don't think they knew. Or she was diagnosed with Leber's then.
Right.
Because I don't know if they knew what it was back then or they had
No,
exactly, yeah. So they didn't think anything of it, or certainly that it wasn't hereditary. So when it happened to my sister, it was like, what the heck's going on? That's when we found out, and because we went to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital.
Right. Now, I'm always curious about this. I'm the first one affected in my family and, you know, went through, like a lot of other people, same story. And, but I thought, you know, if I had siblings or, you know, anyone else that was affected before me, and that blur started in my eye, and I knew, you know, that it was going to happen, the thoughts that must go through your mind, I can't even imagine that you knew what was to come. Was that difficult, and was that part of the spiral, if you will, of what happened?
Yes. Actually, what happened was, in my senior year, I think I remember it perfectly. It was November of my senior year. I was 18, and I got sucker punched in my left eye, okay? And I hate to admit it, but, yeah, and then the next day, it was, like, blurry, and I was like, oh, man, but my left eye has always been my bad eye, because even without Leber's or whatever, I had scarring behind my left eye. I used to have to wear a patch over my right to make my left one stronger. I had a lazy eye. So all of a sudden, when I closed my right eye, it was very, like, blurry. And I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? I got scared. But my right eye was still perfect. So I could still drive. I could still do everything. And then all of a sudden, that exactly a year later almost, back in September of the next year, that's when it moved over to my right. And I was like, no. Oh, no. And I called my mom. Never forget it. I called my dad on a
year later?
What?
A year later.
Yeah, a year later, it moved over to my right.
Yeah.
For me, it was a lot sooner. It was like about three months for the right, and then about 3 months for the left to play catch up.
Yeah, exactly. And then I don't know if anybody else has that experience, but like when it goes into both, it's like it took about 2 weeks for it to get like where it is now, where it stays and it's stable. And then exactly. Because that first day when I lost it, I drove 30 miles, which I shouldn't have done, and I pulled the car over on the side of the road when I got off the highway, and I was like, "That never driving again."
it didn't hit both eyes. It didn't hit both eyes at the same time, and so I remember hoping, like, God, I hope my left eye doesn't, you know, go. And then, you know, sure enough, a few months later, it did. But
it usually is the one eye, and then within 3 to 6 months, the other eye, you know, typically starts to take effect. Yeah. Everyone is very different. Some people, it's 2 months, both eyes, you know, one, then two, then done. Other people, you know, that second eye just kind of hangs out for a while and takes forever. For me, it was 8 months before my second eye started.
That was more similar to me,
And I was going to be that person that the one eye was going to stay fine and I was going to drive forever.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, like the other gentleman just said to me, I was like,
don't you know who
drive.
I am?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to drive. Well, and of course, we all remember that last drive. Well, most people who were able to drive, you know, before they're affected, you remember that last drive, and you all pull into your driveway and say, yeah, that's never happening again. And that's it.
Yeah.
You're
I just
never going
to
drive
guy
again.
Upstairs,
exactly. Yeah. It's like, that was kind of like that was a wild ride. So, the one eye and the second eye, it just does vary. And, thanks for sharing your thoughts about how, you know, with your brother and sister already affected, then all of a sudden it went, you know, the blur starts. And, you know, just that moment to me just seems, you know, like, I can't even imagine what goes through your mind as a sibling.
And when the second eye goes, or in your case, when the second eye started to go, how long did it deteriorate before it was totally effective? Was that weeks or months?
Like I said, it was about two and a half weeks, after the second eye.
And was anyone longer than that?
Nah, I don't think so. My sister, it happened pretty fast, I think, because she never mentioned anything about one eye and then the second. It was just, I think she held on to that for, like, or just, you know, thought it was something like, you know, weird. Maybe she needed glasses, because when she finally spoke up, it was when it happened to her second eye. And my brother, he's kind of, he doesn't like to talk about it too much. I mean, he has a very great sense of humor, and But, yeah, that's about, I just know for me, it took about 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patty?
Yeah.
Did you pick up the guitar before or after you lost your sight?
Before, actually, thank God, because, yeah, and I took it very seriously at first, too, and this is before I even knew I was going, I was going to lose my vision, but it was like eighth grade or freshman in high school, and went over to my friend's house, and it was like guitar heaven, and he had this piano and all these cool, like, pedals and stuff, and he taught me one chord, and then he gave me an old, like, beater acoustic, and he would literally over the phone teach me how to play chords, and I would fake being sick to go to school. I just couldn't put it down. And then I eventually taught myself pretty much how to play. And, after that, I stayed serious with it. But when I lost my vision, that's when I really, really dove into it. And I made myself learn every Dave Matthews song. Or, I learned how to finger tap like Eddie Van Halen. stuff like that. And then, I've never put it down since.
Is Jeff Seeley totally blind? Jose Feliciano?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he plays in a very nice town by me. Connecticut's pretty. It's got its ritzy little towns, but there's a place called what the heck is it called? The Reading Roadhouse, I think, or the something Georgetown Saloon. That's it. And him and occasionally Keith Richards, they perform there at the open mic. Yeah, I've actually seen Keith Richards before, so he definitely has a face for radio.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
What type of music is it that you play, would you call it, if you had to categorize it?
Who, me? I like singer-songwriter, acoustic, definitely have my own style. I play a 12-string, which is actually at the studio right now where I'm going tomorrow, so, but I have a 6-string as well. What? Somebody say something? Sorry, I thought I heard somebody say something.
Jessica, did you say he was going to play a little something for us?
Right, I was just thinking, is your guitar at the studio? So you can't.
No, I have a 6-string here. I don't know how it'll sound through the phone, but...
Give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot, yeah.
I think we're really interested. Let's hear.
Yeah, hold on, let me find a pick. That's the... I gotta stop doing this to myself. Like it's like I play hide and go seek on myself. Hold on. You can keep. So I'll wait. Oh, no, that's not the shot. All right, we'll go back to that when I find one, which it should be very shortly because I was just playing a little while ago. So.
Patty, this is Maria. I just want to make sure you know, and I think Jessica may have mentioned it to you, but one place where you'll meet some great people with LHON is at our conference, which will take you out towards the West Coast next June. We'll be talking about it, of course, in the future, but June it's going to be in Seattle, Washington.
That's what I heard, yes. Yeah.
Yep, so it'll be, I think it's June 17th. Anyway, it's right in that week. But anyway, you need to just pencil out that in your calendar, 2016. So we'd love to have you join. And it's an amazing time. And to meet people that you hear or see on Facebook, it's just, there's just no words. It's
great. And how long is it? It's just a weekend thing?
Lissa, next year's going to
be. Yes, you're right, Maria. It's on Friday, June 17th. And we traditionally have sort of a welcome gathering the evening before. So on Thursday, June 16th, you can expect it starting around 4 o'clock and ending at various times, depending on whether people are whatever style. Wayne will be in the bar till midnight. We know that. it's a
I'll
good thing. There you go.
Yeah.
But figuring like kind of 4-ish on Thursday the 16th, social time, and then all day Friday the 17th, which is good because last year, or this past year, we were on a Wednesday, which was a little fragmented for folks struggling to get off work. There were reasons why we did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter. This coming year, it'll be a Thursday afternoon, Friday, and then, you know, you can stay the weekend and enjoy Seattle, but the actual event ends. It's just the Thursday, Friday. Now, the UMDF, you know, with LH1 being a mitochondrial disease, we're overlapping with the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation family meeting, which is Friday and half-day Saturday. If those sessions are of interest to people, they might, you know, I think we had one person plus myself going to some of the UMDF meetings, but the LHON in and of itself is technically Friday the 17th with a little bit of...
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
It's much better that it's on a weekend, I think, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I will guarantee you I will be attending this year. That's going to be... That's a...
Nice.
And July, June 17th, or June 17th, yeah, it's a very important day in my life, so... Not my birthday, it's just a... It's a close friend, so... I can't forget that, so... That's a good thing. All right. So, I'm still looking. I'm sorry, guys, but...
Are you still looking? And I have to always share the story when we talk about conference. I always tell the story when I met Wayne Daniels for the first time because I feel like after being on these conference calls once a month, you really feel like you start to know these people and you feel like you have known them forever. So it was funny when I saw Wayne for the first time. I'm like, oh, hey, I went in for a hug. And I was like, oh, we've never met. It was so
yeah, that's
funny.
The way I am too, though.
Yeah, you just feel like I've known Wayne still for a year, and so I'm like, oh, that's right. So it's just so funny that it really puts a perspective on these awesome calls that you really feel, I just feel connected to everyone that's on the call. And
absolutely, yeah. I'm already feeling that way. I feel comfortable with you guys already. You know, that's without a doubt.
Are you tuning over there?
Who, me? No,
that wasn't tuning. It sounded like a car, but I don't think any of us are jumping in a car. So.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, I'm trying my hardest.
My wife shuts that idea down a lot. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys.
Say again?
I try to jump in the car a lot, but the wife shuts the idea down.
Nice.
Yeah. My daughter said to me today, my daughter's almost 16, she looked at me and she goes, hey, Mom, you never have to be the designated driver. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Coming out of the mouth of a
16-year-old,
like,
I'm
like,
I'm
like, oh, well, you're right, but well, that's really not a concern of yours, is it?
Yeah.
So, it's true. I guess it is true.
All right, I found a pick.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll just make sure it's in tune. Hold on. Of course it's not. Hold on. All right. I'll sing like the first verse of the song because it's a song called "Ode to My Family," and obviously it's explanatory again. So. And if you can't hear it, just bear with the next minute. So.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. Can anybody hear me?
Yes. Can you hear that? All right.
Yes.
thing. Woo-hoo!
Thanks.
Oh, awesome.
Get more shy doing that than singing in front of, like, thousands of people. That's weird. It's very strange. But thank you.
Wow, that was awesome, Patty.
Thanks. Thanks. I think that'll be my my first single, or whatever you want to call it. The one I'm going to release first.
And this is recorded, so it's like your second professional recording. So we'll have it. It'll be perfect.
Yes. Yep. Tomorrow I'm going in. I'm actually finishing Lose My Mind, and I'm starting that one.
Perfect.
So it's good I kind of brush up real quick. You know? Yeah.
I like it. Well,
thank you.
I want to thank Patty for joining us, for especially for telling your story. It's incredible to be able to have a new person join our call and to welcome you to our awesome community. So glad to have you, and especially to hear your story. And the journey is long and the journey is crazy, but it's great to hear how much you've made a difference in so many people's lives, and especially through music. So we look forward to hearing more music, and keep us posted on what gets.
Oh, I definitely will. And you guys are part of my family now. So, I mean, everything, you know, I'll try to keep everything positive and all the good things that are happening lately, which has been pretty awesome. So, I mean, I'm not used to that. So, that's a good thing. And I will keep everybody posted. And when my first song is officially done, you guys will be the first to hear it.
Absolutely. Definitely keep us posted.
Awesome.
Anybody else out there that wants to share anything, any great new things that have happened, or any new people on the call?
Yeah. This is Frank Musso again.
Hey, doing
Hi, Frank.
I'm good. Patty, I just want to say thanks a lot for sharing. You know, it's truly, you know, good to definitely, you know, relate to other people. When I first got this LHON, you know, I felt like me and my brother are, like, we're the only two in the world with this thing, you know. It's really cool to connect with other people, and, you know, it's just, can't even describe it. It's just really cool, and I'm glad I reached out to Lissa and Jeremy, and they pointed me in the right direction to get involved with this. So, thank you for sharing, man. It was good stuff.
Thank you, Frank. Couldn't have said it better.
I do have a quick question, if that's okay.
Sure.
And this is really to the broader group on the call, but we have a situation where my brother is 47 years old, and he's the uncle of Frank who just spoke. He seems to be almost totally blind in one eye and now is deteriorating in his other. So we're at the very early stages of that. Has anyone else on the call experienced someone or know of someone that at 47 would be diagnosed with LHON?
I was diagnosed. This is Maria. I was diagnosed at the age of 50. I was started to take effect at 49. It took them 8 months to figure out what's wrong, because I am an older woman, and a lot of people don't know that it can affect women at any age, and we're seeing more and more women at an older age become affected, and yes, it can happen at any age. I, you know, hate to say that, but it's, we, Lissa and myself and many others, see the people that come through into this community, and the age range is quite large. So I was diagnosed at 50, legally blind, after my diagnosis. I was legally blind 2 months later. And, that answers your question.
So in my family, there's about 9 males. The youngest here was affected at the age of 14. The eldest here is in his early 40s. There's other guys in their 20s, 30s, just all random ages.
Yeah.
My name's Chris, and
that's what I was just talking about.
My brother got it at age 18. He's now 52. I never ever imagined that it was possible for me to get it, but I was diagnosed at the age of 64. And I'm now 67. I've had it a little over 3 years, but I was diagnosed at age 64. Actually, when my sight started going bad, I never even dreamed it was c- could possibly be levers because I was so out of the bell curve that thoughts never occurred to me. I thought I was having a retinal problem because I was a woman and I was 64 that it couldn't possibly be levers. So I was dumbstruck when I got my diagnosis because I didn't think it was possible. But believe you me, it's possible.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know that at all. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question, actually. Mm-hmm. I've only had this for 4 months, and I didn't know what my uncle had. My name is Chris. I'm still kind of new to all this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm still kind of, like, learning all the tips and tricks of everybody.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you have them, pass them along.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I've talked to Wayne a lot on the phone, actually.
Oh, good. Good. Well, good. And you're from Florida, right?
Yes.
Oh,
you're trying to get together, my friend.
Yeah. Me and you are. Yeah, I'm slowly working on it. Wife's working two jobs. I'm still trying to learn how to. Yeah.
Well, you know, getting on the call is, you know, well, and talking to Wayne and talking to others in this community is, you know, is actually one of the best things you can do. Getting on the call is the best things you can do. And anytime you have any questions and you know the Facebook pages we're all involved in, you know, throw it out there because somebody's probably has a tip, trick, or been there, done that.
On anything. Problems. I don't have anything that I can work because I don't have an iPhone yet. I have an Android, and the magnifier I do have, I had to get my brother to type in the number because I literally cannot see use my phone from this.
Oh, okay. Are you thinking about getting an iPhone soon?
Yes, because my phone is expired in 2 months contract-wise, so I'm going to get the iPhone because I literally cannot text anybody to save my life.
Oh yeah, well they do. I have an Android as well, and they have a Google. It's like a Google thing. It's Texas speak to text. I speak all my texts, and I use my magnifier to read them. But you can change the font also on display, and you can make it absolutely enormous.
Oh, okay, because my voice text thing says absolutely nothing I say, so people constantly call me, did you fall down? Are you okay? Do we need to call 911? I'm like, no, I'm just calling to see if you wanted to go to lunch.
So,
four first months, I'm going to tell you guys, hopefully it gets better. Not having little tips to do anything, kind of awful.
Yeah. Well,
and
you Patty, know,
I actually know some people that could help you with your music career because I used to do security as a side job, and my dad runs a bunch of music festivals, actually.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
So
yeah,
when you said that, I actually said I found one person that I could actually help.
That's amazing.
That's
wow.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. Look at that, a little networking.
See?
Yeah, find
it
me
is.
On Facebook. If you're on Facebook, Patty Dillon, P-A-D-D-Y.
Okay.
Dillon, and I should be on the Elhan page.
We always encourage everybody to, you know, try and find everyone on Facebook, I mean, if you want to be found. Because, you know, we do share our experiences, and as I do, you know, share our experiences in our lives. And it's not all about, you know, being legally blind. You know, we all do things that, you know, you'd never know. You know, we were legally blind and out there doing our thing. And so definitely reach out and find people and friend people and, you know, that support, as Chris was saying, you know, especially in the very early stages, the support of others, or if you feel there's somebody that you might be able to connect with like you did with Wayne, go ahead and reach out with Facebook messages, private message. Say, hey, you know, if I give you a call? Anyone in this community, and everybody knows who does this, is more than willing to give you time on the phone. And it's so valuable. I mean, it really, really is valuable to have that connection on, and to somebody who gets it. And I think you all know what that means, is that we get it on every level being affected.
Absolutely. I talked to John in Connecticut. A couple of weeks ago, talked to him for a long time, great conversation. And then I talked to David in Seattle, Washington, a couple of days ago, great conversation. And following up what Jessica was saying, it's like I've said it every call, I think, but, you know, this was my first conference this past year. And I had no expectations what to really expect and think anything about it, really, but went up there, and it's just like Jessica said, you could just walk up to everybody who had LHON and just, you don't have to explain, you don't have to say anything, and they're just automatically friends, you know them. And it was just, I loved it. It was a
that fantastic. Sounds like the best like setting ever, because, you know, and I'm so mad at myself that I haven't gone years earlier, you know.
I've had LHON for 37 years, and like many of you, you know, you've heard it before, it's like, I thought I was the only one for the first 18 years. You know, I was affected in 79. And, you know, all of a sudden in the past 5 years, I've met and spoke to so many people.
Yeah. Wow. Oof. Thank you.
Jessica?
Comfortable silence.
Yep. I was just going to offer a group hug because I'm like, oh, my God, I just love this call.
Yeah.
If only we lived off over, right? Well, anyone else? Any other newcomers? Anyone else that wants to... Anything? All right. Well, it is almost 6 o'clock.
That was exactly an hour.
Oh, perfect. Check us
perfect.
Out. No. Patty,
Jess, you say you record this?
Yeah, call's recorded. Yeah. And Lisa will post the link on the LHON Facebook page.
Oh,
so
awesome.
So share it, and you'll be able to share it with all your friends and family, and those that have missed the call, especially with time zones, will be able to listen to it as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's perfect.
I didn't know that. Yeah, because people were wondering, like, can I call in, or can I listen? I'm like, I don't know, you know. I think it's just for Elon, but that's awesome. I can show my friends, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's a reason you would want to go back to the other calls, there's some great topics, especially blind square and cooking and sports, and there are some great guest speakers. So you'll have to go back to each month and check out everybody else's
absolutely.
Stories and questions, because it's awesome. Especially for you. Go ahead.
Sorry. Patty and anyone else who's... on here, I just want to say I'm still relearning how to use, adaptive computer software to get back on the internet. So I'm not on Facebook, but for anyone that wants to give me a call, my number is 708-953-0995. Unless you said it should be recorded. So that's 708-953-0995.
Yeah, and for anybody else too, my number is 914-703-2324. And that's Patty.
Perfect.
What was
the name of the first gentleman?
Yeah. What's that?
What was
your name?
The first gentleman that gave out his number, who was that? What was his first name?
That was Frank Musso. And
Frank,
okay,
I thought that was it.
708-953-0995. And, Fetty, can you repeat yours again?
Yeah, 914-703-2324.
All right, cool.
The first 50 callers, what do they get?
Three callers, too.
Frank, it's me again. Can you, because I just got my Sharpie opened. Everyone knows what that's a Sharpie. Can you tell me?
Yeah, I had to get my Sharpie.
Maria, I'll get
it from Lisa. No problem. I don't want to, like, keep repeating it, but I was like, oh, just got the Sharpie. Thank you. Anyone who isn't on Facebook or anything, you can always, if you have Lisa's email, she is, you know, such our central core. You can always email her and say you want to connect with people, and she can, or if there's someone on the call you wanted to connect with, she can absolutely be the person in between, and she connects people every day, all day, 24/7. So feel free to always email her.
She's done that a few
her.
Times for me. It's amazing.
Yeah. And if you don't have the email address, that one is lhonpoince@aol.com. So it's like lhonpoints@aol.com. And, yeah, feel free to contact me that way or through Facebook. And, Emil, I didn't hear from you after the last call, so please email me or Facebook me, please.
I will. I've been
really
busy with this
I know.
OCB thing.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yes, sir. But I had a couple things I wanted to reach out to you on, so please reach out to me. It's lhonpoints@aol.com or through Facebook. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and one more email address to throw at you guys.
Yes.
as a LHLM Live co-host with Maria Johnson and Andy Marks. If you guys want to be a guest speaker, we would love to have you. We'd love to hear your story. If you guys have questions or you want to chat with me, Maria, Andy, or for any reason, email us. We'd love to hear from you guys. Ours is, one more email address to throw to you, but it's lhonlive@gmail.com.
Oh, awesome.
So super easy. We're totally here for you guys as well. Me, Maria, and Andy, we're an awesome team together, and we're happy to chat with any of you guys. We would love to hear new faces and new voices all the time. So, and we're always looking for a guest speaker. So if you guys would like to be a guest speaker, we'd love to have you. So definitely shout out to us. Thank you guys for joining for September's phone call. It was so great to hear new voices, especially Patty.
Yes,
and thank you so much for sharing your story, and your music was awesome. Was
thank you so much, Jessica and Maria and Lisa and everybody, and it was so great meeting you guys. And, I'm always here. Doesn't matter what time or time zone. I'm always available to talk, and I hope vice versa. So I can't express my gratitude enough for you guys and asking me to do this, because this is what makes the world go around for me. So but thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I buy and ask one thing?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
It's Brenda. Maria, what is a Sharpie?
Oh,
a pen.
Hi, Brenda. Sharpie is a big, thick marker, you know, like a felt marker. It's just a big, black felt marker.
Okay, then probably why I don't know, because it's no good to me.
Yeah. So that was, you know, it's our last resort to be able to actually see writing, you know, really big on a piece of paper.
Before it goes it one step further, which mine bypassed years ago. Okay.
Now can I ask you where you're from? I can hear your accent.
Oh, Brenda.
Oh, I hate speaking. Everyone.
Rhode Island.
Yeah, I was going to guess Boston.
American movie.
Where?
I just sound so bogan compared to everyone else.
No, I don't know. I think it's great. What, I love accents. Where are you from?
I think you've got accents.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot again. I got a good going. Have a good one, everyone.
You take care.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Ron.
Yeah. Brenda, so you're from Brisbane, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Very nice.
And
nice.
Someday we want Brenda to get to America so we can meet her.
Yes.
Oh, I so want to go over. I finally, you know, kids grown up and they've got the money, just, yeah, I've got no travel companion.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going to have to get you connected somehow, some way, one of these times,
you know,
Brenda.
There's a partial connection possible, Brenda. I don't know, have you joined the Australian Mitochondrial Disease Foundation, the AMDF?
Yeah, I actually spoke to, what was her name, female doctor. She's one of the top ones there. God, I can't remember her name.
In America?
Because I've been trying, like, because AMDF is having, like, an event about mitochondrial transfer in Sydney, and I've been talking to the folks there about, you know, can they, when they have some of their events, can we get some of the LHON folks in the area to attend those events as long as they're happening? So there's, you know, getting to the States is a bit of a travel issue, but, you know, maybe it can get a few of the folks in your area who are impacted by LHON to go to an AMDF event near you. That would be a way to meet some of the LHON community that already lives near you, which would be not quite as cool as coming to join us, but hey, it's a step in the right direction, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's my bucket list also. I've never been overseas yet. I'm just running short, not getting any younger.
That's true. Well, I'm glad that you join us on every call that you can, Brenda. I'm always glad to hear your voice and have you speak up.
Yeah, always wondering when you can butt in. And then, like Patty says, it's a bit different on a phone call, on a conference call, knowing when you can and can't butt in.
Yeah.
Well, you always can try.
Excuse me, Patty?
Yes.
What are the first three digits of your phone?
Oh, 914.
Thank you.
And then 703-2671. Gotcha.
904?
Yeah, 914-703-2671.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
I was just listening to an Australian musician last night.
Oh, nice.
Annie Piper. You know who that is? Anna Piper?
I don't think so. No, I never heard her.
Australia? No.
No, no.
I'm kind of excited to go on a Van Halen. That would be stuff.
I know.
Awesome.
I'm so pumped.
Gonna, and you won tickets or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, my guy I went to high school with, he does the morning show on there's a radio station called I-95, and he does the morning show. And I know what time they do the trivia every morning. I'm on a 10-second delay at work on my computer. I stream it, so I always just start calling it at 8:35, but it's at 8:45. So, yeah. And then I picked up, I was about to hang up too, and he picked up, and he's like, "I-95 Taser Trivia," and I was like, "Oh!" And he asked the question. It was, "What was the only number one hit by Van Halen? They've had like 30 songs in the top 10, but what was their only number one hit?" And it was "Jump." So
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I was almost said Panama too, and I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just went with it. Yeah, Jump.
Cool.
Like, it's crazy. Like, it's another band. Like, Pink Floyd's only had one number one hit.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Have a great time.
Thanks so much, Maria.
Please post it on Facebook. I want to hear how it is.
Oh, absolutely. It's pictures and everything.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth pictures doing, like, the
oh,
jump.
Oh, my God. What he might be looking. Who knows what he's looking like these days?
Oh, God. Probably haggard.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably pretty ragged. Yeah, take some binoculars. Take binoculars. Check them out.
It's one of those things, like, good thing I'm blind, you know?
I know.
Yeah. Another face for radio.
Oh, God,
another. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Patty, it's Chris. I just want to say you might have been in a big black hole once, but I think you're an inspiration now.
Thank you so much. That means the world. You have no idea. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, can anybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Maria and Alyssa, this is Corey Lloyd.
Hey, Corey.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm pretty
hey,
good.
Hey, Corey.
I was trying to get the mute button on and off, and I was trying to say hello for the longest time.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to share some good news. I told Jeremy that I'm going to a school in Buffalo, like a business training center, starting next week.
Oh, awesome.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, Corey.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Thanks a lot.
It's
going to
start snowing next week, but...
I know.
They had something like 14 feet by November last year.
Oh, man.
They were like, they were trapped in their houses in like early November. It's like, wow.
I'm nervous about that, but I'm looking forward to the experience.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. But I didn't mean to put a damper on that. Yeah.
No. I am nervous about that, too, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get used to it.
Yeah. Is that something you'll commute to, Corey, or you actually are going there?
Oh, no, I'm actually flying up there on Tuesday.
You're going to be living there and everything?
Corey lives in New Jersey. You don't commute from New Jersey to Buffalo, Maria.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That would be one hell of a commute.
Hey, I'm in San Diego. What do I know?
That's why I'm telling you.
That's why my good pal, Alyssa, who also lives in San Diego, is like, Maria, really?
I went to high school in Connecticut, but I have to tell a Corey Lloyd story. Corey, has Jeremy told you the story that just came up in the last 2 days about you?
No.
All right, so here's a Corey Lloyd story. Everyone, you have to hear this story. Somebody wanted to join our group, and as usual, I asked what was their connection to LHYN. And her answer was she had met a couple really, two nice young men, she thought, and they had a bracelet. They gave her a bracelet that talked about LHON, and they told her to learn about it. So she was learning about it by trying to join our group. And I'm like, okay. So I gave her a link to our wristbands, and I said, was it this bracelet? And she said, yeah, that was it. I'm like, do you happen to know the name of these people? Because, you know, I know a lot of people in the community. She's like, well, I think their names were Corey and Michael. I'm like, Corey Lloyd and Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
And she was just like, yeah, well, if everyone in the community is as nice as those young men were, you got a great group. And she was like, yeah, she met you on the train or at a concert or something, and you told her to learn about LHON. So she went out and did it. So I just want to give you huge kudos for passing out bracelets and raising awareness of LHON, because you're actually getting work done. So congratulations.
Wow,
amazing.
That's
awesome.
I never, you know, I always hand out the white wristbands, but I don't know how far it's going to go. But that's amazing. I went to a Marley concert, Bob Marley's son. I went there.
Yeah, Ziggy?
In Central Park. It was Damien and Stephen Marley. I went there on Sunday. And a girl, she saw that I was visually impaired, gave her a bracelet, and wow, look how far it reaches. That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy? You got her interested. She was checking into it and trying to figure it all out, and she thought the world of you.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's great, Corey. What a great story, Lissa. Thanks for sharing.
That is really cool.
My part.
Great
That's
work.
Amazing,
yeah, she knew
Maria.
About the Cure ride and everything.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, that's,
wow, that's
amazing.
Awesome. Corey, how long have you been affected?
2 years now. 2013 was my diagnosis. Was February 2013. And then
okay.
I went on the bike ride, the Cure ride with Lissa's son, Jeremy, down the California coast. Had
oh,
a great
wow.
time over there.
Nice.
Had a great, great, great time. I wanted to go this year, but I'm like I said, I'm going to the school up in Buffalo, so I won't be able to make it this year.
Yeah.
How long is the training for? How much time?
I'm going to be out there for 3 months, so I'll be back by my birthday in November. So.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. So do they help you
before the winter?
Do they help place you in a job afterwards, or do they give you the training that you'll use and find something on your own? Or
They have a job counselor who's going to help me find job placement once the program is over.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
But yeah, like you said, I'm going to get out there before the winter hits. So.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Oh, that's great news, Corey. Thanks for unmuting yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So awesome. That's great.
Yep. So.
So you go next? Did you say when did you start? I'm sorry. You go next week?
Yeah, Tuesday, September 8th.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Well, cool. Well, keep in touch, you know, on Facebook or, you know, phone or whatever while you're there, and please let us know how you're doing.
Oh. Will do. Will
Great.
Do.
Great.
Definitely, definitely.
Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a great night, you guys.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Jessica.
Absolutely. I'm so glad. I'm glad to be part of this community, for sure. Anybody else? If not, I'm going to say goodnight to everyone, and we'll definitely see you next month. So that will be October 1st is a Thursday, so it'll be October
7th.
October 7th. So if anybody has anything else to chime in?
Well, before y'all go, I want to give you all my number since I can't work Facebook very well unless somebody's home with me.
Oh, okay.
It's
904-566-9693.
906-93.
Yep. 904-566-9693.
Okay,
966.
All right, cool.
Who is
that?
Chris Bowman.
Oh, Chris, Florida.
Chris.
Yeah.
Terrific. Good.
Well, Chris, I hope you join us next month as well.
I most definitely will. I've learned more than I have with Wayne and y'all tonight than I would ever know. So at first, I thought I was the only one out here because I didn't know. Because my uncle's legally blind, but we don't know if it's Leber's or not because he's never been tested. He's like 70 now. He doesn't believe in doctors anymore. So, yeah. So I'm basically the only one in the family that knows it's Leber's besides my
Good luck with all that.
Anyway.
Yeah. Is it your mom? Chris, is it your mom's brother?
Great uncle. It's my great uncle, so it's her uncle.
Yes.
Okay. But so it's on the maternal side. Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
probably.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Chris, how old are you?
I was 25 when I found out I had it. I'm 26 now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you should connect with Andy. Andy, you should connect down there in Florida.
Yeah. I got his number. No worries.
Cool.
This is me, Chris. I'm Andy. I actually live in the Celebration area just outside of Orlando. So, and I'm 26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's been a rough 4 months, so slowly
I'm
trying to get the hang of what I can do.
I was going to say, I'm 25, too, if anybody wants to reach out to me. I'm in New Jersey, but my number is 609-280-7571. Is that Corey?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Corey, this is Patty. I'm going to give you a call soon.
Gotcha. Definitely.
All right. Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. Now I'm going to have to get going, guys.
Yeah.
It's a little late
yeah.
on my part.
Again,
I got to
connect
get ready
with
Lisa.
If you want to connect with other people in the community, that's probably one of the easiest ways if you can do that.
Yeah. Awesome.
And if you want to be a guest speaker, shout out to us at lh1live@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you. And especially after you do do your training in Buffalo, we'd love to hear about it. You could be a guest speaker maybe in 3 months.
Okay.
So that would be pretty cool.
Sounds good.
Right on.
Okay. Well, good night, guys. Thank you
good
all
night,
for
guys.
Being here.
Great.
And
good
I'll see you
bye,
on man. October 7th.
Yes. All right.
Good night.
Thanks again.
Right. Hey, good night,
everybody. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
See you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
What time is it?